See, we, Ricky and I just wanted to give you a little demonstration of what happens when you have too many bosses in the church. Huh? Isn't that right?
Amen.
You got too many botches, yeah. Bosses in the church, it botches everything, doesn't it?
Absolutely correct.
Yeah, get my teeth working tonight. But, you know, that is the truth. We got one boss. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
Huh? And if everybody listened to Jesus, you know what? There'd only be one church. There'd only be one church if everybody listened to Jesus. Because, you know, we do like the Bible says, everybody say the same thing. Mm-hmm. Huh? We got a minister down in Alabama that's become a part of this ministry. When I first met him, he had a real problem. He didn't want to say anything the same way anybody else said it. And I took him over to the Bible and said that we're all to say the same thing. And it blew his mind. I said, it's just pride on your part. And he hung his head and he said, yeah, you're right. You know, if a thing is right, you say it right. Amen? And who can find a better way of saying anything than God?
Nobody.
If God says a thing, why can't we say it too? Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Y'all be seated for a minute. Please be seated there for a little bit. Then we'll jump up again and do something. Amen? I want to say, hey, Rick. Good to see you. Come up and say something for Jesus.
Well, praise the Lord. We made it.
Yes.
I wasn't sure we were going to make it. It was like being late. Well, I know for myself, I have like missed this. Been up there doing things, and you've been down here having a ball. So I decided to come down and have fun with you guys tonight.
Amen.
Amen. The theme of when we were in Cornish and when we were in Berlin, I was talking to Ricky today, and there's been something that has been like on repeat in my brain, and it's that three things. Take God serious, don't take yourself serious, and believe the Word.
Amen.
And I have found great comfort in those three things over the last 2 weeks, because I have found that Satan doesn't like me. And he has attacked really hard. And some of you who know me know that when I get attacked, I have a tendency to blow a cork and get upset and maybe say some things that I shouldn't say. And when I got to that point of blowing a cork, those words went through my head. Take God serious. Don't take yourself serious. And believe His Word. And I found every time that I was getting flustered and upset is when I was taking myself serious. So I praise God for the last month between Scott's place and Berlin of those three things. And we're going to have t-shirts available at some point with that on it, because you cannot forget that. You cannot forget that. We take ourselves way too serious, way too often. And if you want to be what God has called you to be, you can't be serious about yourself. You have to be serious about Jesus Christ and what He did. And Davey had said something, and this is a determination that I have made within myself. I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that is going to be my creed, and that is going to be my motto. And one day, we're going to travel together and say that. Amen?
Praise God. Give the Lord a cheer. See, what happens when you take yourself too serious, Satan uses that against you. You get flustered, you say something stupid, or you act dumb, and then Satan says, see, you're not worthy. You can't serve God. You can't do what God wants you to do. You're not good enough. You just proved it, you stupid idiot. Am I the only one who ever heard anything like that?
That does sound vaguely familiar.
It sounds somewhat familiar. And then you sit there and you say, yeah, God, that's right. Lord, I try to do right. Oh, Lord, I just try. I keep blowing it. Hoo-hoo. And the Lord just looks down there and says, look, let me show you something. Because of Adam, sin and death came into the world. Now, do you know that when there was no law, people still died? Huh? Where there was no law, they couldn't sin. But they still died. Right? So that meant they had sin. Even though they couldn't sin, they had sin because the wages of sin is what? Death. So from Adam all the way to Moses, people sinned and died. But they had sin. But man didn't understand why he was dying. He didn't understand what was going on. So God gave the law. And the law revealed sin. Now watch this. When you sin, you are proving God righteous. Because what you're seeing is that sin, when you sin, it's that natural man popping out. It's the natural man popping out. And that natural man cannot please God. And you can shackle him. You can tie him up. You can put him in a room. You can cover him up with 20,000 blankets. And you know what? He's still going to be a jerk. Still going to be a jerk. Now, am I saying, forget about it and let's just go do whatever we want? God forbid. But to understand that the natural man is going to do that. That's why Paul says over in Romans 8, I think it's 8, there now is no more condemnation. Yeah. To them who what? Who are in Christ Jesus. Now, let me show you something. Remember Adam, when he ate of the tree of knowledge between good and evil, he went and put him a fig leaf on. And that fig leaf represented his idea of righteousness. God didn't even recognize Adam. Now, I had a preacher argue with me on this the other day. I don't believe whatever you want. I don't care. I know this to be true. God walking in the garden there, and he's calling for Adam. Adam, where are you? And I know that God saw Adam and Eve hiding over there with the fig leaves on. I know he saw them. God sees everything. Amen? So why didn't he know that was Adam and Eve over there? Because they weren't clothed in his righteousness. They'd lost their righteousness. He didn't recognize them anymore. And here they tried to cover it up with a fig leaf. Who is that King Rehoboam that lost the shields of gold and tried to cover it up with shields of brass? It's all down through history from Adam on down. Churches today give up the gold for the brass. They give up the lamb for the fig leaf. God took Adam out and he showed him sacrifice. And he took the skin of that sacrifice. And Steve, I'll bet you a dime to a dollar. Somebody says you're not supposed to gamble. But this ain't gambling, it's a sure thing. I'll bet you a dime to a dollar that that sacrifice that God made was a lamb. And I'll bet you that that skin that God put on Adam was the skin of a lamb. And that meant that Adam was clothed in Jesus. It's never changed, folks. It's never changed. The gospel of Jesus Christ has been the same. It was preached to Adam. It was preached to Noah. It was preached to Enoch. It was preached to every single man of God from Adam all the way down. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. He is our hope. He is our salvation. He is the deliverer. He is the healer. He is the one that brings good things. He is the one that does all things to delight the Father. And He wants to do them in you. He wants to share Himself with you. Now, the whole theme of our revival up here is very simple. Let's get out of the desert and get it across the River Jordan. That is God's desire. Now, when God told Moses to go talk to Pharaoh, He went and told him to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go, for Israel is my firstborn." Now, that firstborn died in the desert. And that firstborn represents this flesh. You understand what I'm saying? You cannot enter into heaven in this body. You cannot enter into the presence of God with this body. Somebody tells you you can, they're a liar. Or if they're not a liar, then they just don't know any better. You cannot enter into God's kingdom in this body. It will not happen. Because this body is cursed. Did not God say cursed is the fruit of the ground? So the fruit of the ground is cursed. Where did this body come from? The ground. Then this body's cursed. And these people trying to dress this thing up in their little religions and try to get it across and fool God into thinking that it's a righteous body, forget it. Why did Paul say over in Romans, what was it? 2? Was that 2?
The one I'm thinking of.
You mean which one? Chapter 1. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son. See, Paul understood that he served God in the spirit of the gospel of His Son. In His spirit He served God. Why? Because in this body you serve the law of sin. In this body you serve the law of sin, but in the spirit you serve the law of God. That's what all of chapter 6, 7 were all about. Alright? Then he gets over to 8. And I want you to key that song up, Rick, if you haven't done it already. He gets over here to verse 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're in Christ Jesus, that makes you part of the body. Huh? And as part of the body, you are male, not female. What happens when a man loses his identity and thinks he's a woman? They call him queer. I'm being polite. Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
When a man loses his identity and thinks he's a woman, we call him queer. Some people are more polite and say, alternative lifestyle. Call him a homosexual. Perverted. The truth. Some people don't like the truth. But that's what they are. Now what happens if the church is a male, if the church is the body of Jesus Christ, and these churches out here lose their identity and think they're female, then what happens? They become queer. And then God can't bless them. In fact, the only thing they got to look forward to is what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's scary. Somebody's got to wake these churches up. Somebody's got to get through to these people out here in these churches and tell them, get rid of that bride doctrine. It's not of God. It's of the devil. It's out of the pits of hell. It has destroyed you. It has taken away your power. It's taken away your authority. It's taken away your identity in Jesus Christ. The church can't even heal a headache anymore. But praise God, those who know the Word of God and believe on Jesus Christ and are in Christ Jesus as His body, they walk in that anointing.
Amen.
They walk in that anointing. Now you see, God said, in Mark 16, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Amen?
Amen?
Now, I take that literal. I preach literally to every creature. I'll preach to a dragonfly. That sucker will sit there and listen to me. That's how I learned to preach. They wouldn't let me in the churches to preach. I've actually had people in the tent say, you know, they come to one of my meetings and say, oh, I understand that. They wouldn't let me in the churches to preach. So I used to go out to cow pasture and preach to cows, preach to dogs, preach to my cat. Every now and then I'd preach to a bird, preach to anything that sit there and listen. And, you know, I found out it was good practice because there are a lot of people that imitate animals. I preach to hogs, two-legged and four-legged. I preach to a few jackasses, two-legged and four-legged. I preach to all kinds of things. But it's good practice, you know. And if you say, well, I don't get an opportunity to witness and preach, what are you talking about? There's a whole creation out here. There's a whole creation. If you can't find a person, find a mammal. If you can't find a mammal, find a bird. If you can't find a bird, find an insect. If you can't find an insect, find a fish. Put it in a bowl and preach to it. Either convert that fish or learn something. Huh? So he said, go preach the gospel to every creature. That's what I do. Then he said a marvelous thing. He that believeth... Believeth what?
The gospel.
Not Marvin Piff's theory on relativity of the sanctity of whether a wafer in the Holy Communion should be square or round, or whether it should be 2 millimeters thick or 6. That's not the gospel. Or whether or not you should come in here women wearing slacks or not wearing slacks, that's not the gospel. You think God cares? Not one bit. Not a bit. If you enjoy wearing a pair of slacks, ladies, then you wear them. And if you're married and your husband likes you in slacks, then you wear them. And if a preacher tells you that you're sinning, you tell that preacher he doesn't know Jesus.
Amen.
I'm serious. You tell him you don't know Jesus. Because Jesus wouldn't tell me that. My Jesus tells me, obey my husband. And it's not a sin for me to wear a pair of pants. You know what it's talking about? A man's not to wear that which pertaineth to a woman. That's a transvestite. I don't think any of you women are trying to look like men. Huh? You come in here with a hat and a suit and a tie and all kinds of binders on, I might think something weird of you. Huh?
Yep.
Or if Ricky comes in here in a wedding gown, I'd kick his mother is what I'd do first. I'd go beat her. What you do that to my boy for? Steve was talking about going out and getting a wedding gown and going off one of these churches one time. I said, oh, don't do that. He'd do it, too. Steve's crazy enough to do something like that. Amen? He said, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth what? The gospel. What is the gospel? Jesus Christ died on the plains to save my sorry hide.
Amen.
He died on the cross and took away all the sins of the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Past, present, and future.
Amen.
Took them out of the way.
Amen.
Got rid of them.
Amen.
They don't exist.
Amen.
I'm not under the law.
Amen.
Where there is no law, there is no sin.
Amen.
Where there is no sin, there is freedom.
Amen.
This body may be bound, but my spirit's not bound.
Amen.
My spirit dwelleth in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
This body dwelleth in the desert.
Amen.
But my spirit's gone over the Jordan, and it ain't coming back
Amen.
To nobody.
Amen.
Praise God. Jesus said, he that believeth the gospel and is baptized shall be saved.
Amen.
Don't confuse that with John 3:16. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish. No guarantee there, folks. See, there's no guarantee. You can believe in Jesus and go to hell. I tell people all the time, you believe in Jesus, you do well. The devils believe and tremble. Besides, believing in Jesus and a nickel 40 years ago buy you a cup of coffee. It ain't going to raise the dead. See, you got to go one more step. You got to believe Jesus.
Amen.
You've got to believe Him. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he will do also.
Amen.
Now, I don't care if some preacher come up to me and say, Richard, those aren't for today. Really? Tell my daughter right there who'd be dead today if it wasn't for today.
Amen.
Laying in a hospital in a coma. The doctor telling me she's not going to live through the night. My wife and I laid hands on her, rebuked the spirit of death, prayed for her, and she come out of that coma and was healed instantly.
Amen.
Tell that preacher, you go drop somewhere. Give me 40. Turned that around in a hurry, didn't I? Or tell that preacher about Carrie breaking her leg before a church meeting one night and God healing that leg and she got up and went back inside. Or my son about breaking his ankle. And Carrie and John, I think, wasn't it?
Yep.
Carrie and John prayed. And it was healed.
Amen.
That's the kind of Jesus that we have.
Amen.
He said, if you believe on me, then the works that I do, you will do also.
Amen.
To believe on Jesus simply means that you believe Him. And that agrees back over in Mark 16. These signs shall follow them that believe. You can tell a believer. Now, I want to show some. I said this the other night, and woman got mad at me and left. Which is all right with me. She wasn't going to listen anyway. I said, if the signs are not following you, then you're not a believer. Now, she took that to mean that if the signs aren't following you, you're not a Christian. And that's not what I said. See? I didn't even say that if the signs aren't following you, you're not saved. I didn't even say that. What I said was, if the signs are not following you, you're not a believer in the gospel. See? Didn't say you weren't saved. Now, I imagine that God is capable of doing anything He feels like doing. As long as it's righteous. Huh? As long as He doesn't change His word. He can do whatever He wants. Isn't that right? All right. But we can't. Well, why are we always trying? See? If you believe in Jesus Christ and you trust in Him for your salvation, to me, God is able to save you. But why stop there? Why in the world would anyone want to stop there? That's like going into the feast and not eating. That's like, hey, Richard, you want to go to a Chinese restaurant and eat all you can eat? Yeah. All right, well, come on in. You can sit there, but you can't eat. I wouldn't stick around. I want some of everything. I want some of everything. I want everything God's got for me. I want every bit of it. I'm not satisfied with a piece of it or a part of it. I want it all. And you know what? There are people out there that will get mad at you if you get it. God gave me a vision one time. It's been a long time since I talked about this, but God gave me a vision years ago about Peter. And you remember that deal where Jesus was coming across the water? The disciples got scared. And the Lord said, don't worry about it, it's just me. And Peter said, Lord, if that be you, bid me come out on the water with you. You remember that? And the Lord said, well, come on. And Peter jumped out of that boat, started walking across that water. And all the Bible tells you is that Peter walked across the water and he looked and saw the waves. And he got afraid and started to sink. Now, that's all the Bible tells you. But God gave me a vision. And you know what? I believe God's vision. And in that vision, guess what the other disciples were doing in the boat? Huh? No, they were saying, Peter, you can't do that. Look at those waves. Who do you think you are? You think you're better than the rest of us? They were back there, and they were giving Jesus, Peter, a hard time. Do you know what? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and you go out and you try to do God's will, there are preachers, there are Christians that will give you a hard time and say, who do you think you are? You think you're better than the rest of us? You can't do that. They will. I've seen it too many times. I remember I was just a brand new Christian. Walked into a church. I didn't know no better. Walked into a church. Some lady starts blaspheming. I just turned around and said, devil, come out of her in Jesus' name. Do you know what? She got delivered. The preacher said, you can't do that. And I was a little dumb. I said, what do you mean? I thought I just did it. Oh, you can't do that. It might go into somebody else. And you know, dumb me, I believed him. I mean, after all, he was the one with all the degrees. I was just a nobody. Surely he knew more than I did. But you know what I found out? He didn't know more than I did. He knew a lot of man's wisdom and a lot of theology. But he didn't know this book. He didn't believe the gospel. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe and are baptized. And he went on to mention tongues, casting out devils, said if they take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. Now we've got people in this tent that have been healed through these meetings. B, you're one of them. You're one of them. You were delivered. Who else in here has been healed in this tent? Well, yeah, but I mean in these later meetings. Oh, you've been healed. Keith was healed. That's right. Keith was healed. Dan out there was healed. Paul up top in the radio room was healed. Kim was healed. Again, that's right. You were healed of those migraines. Amen. God is good.
Amen.
And you know what? If you came here, and I've said this just about every night, if you come here looking for a good preacher, forget it. You're not going to find one. There ain't no good bone in my body. I ain't Purdy either. My wife told me that. Said she loved me anyway. Even when I do take my teeth out and make funny faces at her. She's turning red. I love doing that. Took my teeth out of service one time. I thought Carrie was going to hit the floor and hide under a chair. You can't take yourself serious if you're going to do something like that. Amen? And it's so much fun not to take yourself serious. Because then you can relax and let God be serious. Huh? All right, let's look at this thing. We're going to cross over River Jordan. We're going to understand this thing. And I'm going to preach it and preach it and preach it till everybody understands it. When Jesus said, they that believe and are baptized shall be saved. We know people have been baptized in water. Amen. They don't heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, or do miracles, do they? They don't speak in tongues. They don't prophesy. Yeah? They don't do any of that stuff, do they? No. And then, wonder what he was talking about. How many people remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus come to Jesus by night, John chapter 3. Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man doeth the works thou doest, save God be with him. Couple interesting things to note. Nicodemus was a ruler of the synagogue, and he said, we know. Who's we? Did he have a mouse in his pocket? He didn't even have a pocket, did he? No, he was talking about the other rulers, himself and the other rulers. And he said, we know thou art a teacher come from God. Now, what was Jesus' answer? He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. And everybody takes that and says, Jesus said, unless you're born again, you can't go to heaven. Haven't you heard that preached? And you go down the street and some Christian walk up to you, "Are you born again?" I said, "I am, but are you?" He said, "Oh, yeah." "How do you know?" Huh? See, what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus didn't have anything about to do with going to heaven. Didn't have a single thing to do with going to heaven. Nothing. Nicodemus came claiming to have knowledge. He claimed to know about the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, "Nicodemus, you don't know what you're talking about, son. Unless you're born again, you cannot see or understand the kingdom of God." That's what he was saying. You can't understand the kingdom of God. Nicodemus proved the point. How can this be? I'm an old man. Must I re-enter into my mother's womb and be born again? Now, if I went out and preached something like that, can you see these women running away? My mother would scream. Say, "Don't you come near me. I've born you once. I ain't borning you again." Amen? All right. Nicodemus was a dummy. We know that now. Jesus followed up with saying, "Verily, verily, I say to thee, unless the man be born of the water and of the Spirit," or the Spirit and the water, "he shall not enter into the kingdom of God." Again, he's not talking about going to heaven. He's talking about the kingdom of God right here. Jesus worked the works of God because Jesus walked in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
When Nicodemus said, "We know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man doeth the works thou doest save God be with him," Jesus was saying, "No, Nicodemus, I'm doing these works because I'm in the kingdom of God. And you can't understand that because you're in the flesh." You understand? Somebody understand what I'm saying? All right, so you'll notice there's three there. The first one and then two more following. The first one, to understand the kingdom of God, you must be baptized with the blood of Jesus. Huh? Baptized with the blood of Jesus. Now, the Father is the baptizer. Huh? The Father is the baptizer. Now watch this. Jesus said in Matthew, "Go teaching all nations whatsoever things I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father," that's blood, "in the name of the Son," that's water, "in the name of the Holy Ghost," well, actually, the Son, that's the Holy Ghost, "in the name of the Holy Ghost," that's water. Three separate baptisms. You will not find one area or one place in the Bible where the disciples used the formula by baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's not there. You will not find it. And the Scripture teaches us that before there can be a doctrine, there must be two or more witnesses. So with only one Scripture, you don't have two witnesses. But with the one Scripture, you do have a clarification of the other. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. These three are one." That's the Trinity. Amen?
Amen.
In verse 8, "And there are three that bear record in the earth, the water, the Spirit, and the blood. These three agree in one." That's a Trinity. That's baptism. Do you understand? Somebody understand what I'm saying here? The Father baptizes you in the blood of Jesus. Jesus baptizes you in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ.
Amen.
And God showed them to us through Israel, because Israel came out of Egypt. Amen? Egypt was a type and shadow of the world. Pharaoh was a type and shadow of the devil. And the children of Israel were the type and shadow of God's church, for believers. Amen? So the first thing God did with them is He gave them the Passover lamb. He had to give them the Passover lamb first. And the Passover lamb was the blood. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Father baptizes you with the blood of Jesus, and you are no longer a sinner. You are translated into the kingdom of God. And with that, God can now open your understanding to begin to understand the things of the kingdom of God. All right, then you go on to the next step. The next thing God did is He brought the children of Israel to the what? Red Sea. And when He brought them to the Red Sea, they had to pass through it, didn't He? That was a baptism. That was a baptism of water. And it was a symbolic baptism of entering into Christ. Just like when you're baptized, Steve, you're going to hold a baptism down here on Saturday, right? Somebody's going to go under that water and come up out of the water. Amen? That's symbolic of the Red Sea, which is a baptism into the body of Christ. Now, when Paul said over in Romans 8, what? Therefore there is now no condemnation to them, what? Which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. You see, the flesh is cursed. It stays in the desert. But God has a new body. Jesus promised us a new body. Amen?
Amen.
A glorified, resurrected body. Amen?
Amen?
But it's not here yet. I can't see it. I can't put my hands on it. I can't wear it yet. Because this one's still alive. This one has to die before I can get the other one. Amen? All right. Now, what do I do in the meantime? Jesus said you can't put new wine into an old wineskin or it'll burst. This is the old wineskin. You can't put the new man of God in this body. It'll burst. And you lose both. So the new man, the reborn Richard, is put in Jesus Christ until the day of the new body. I'm hid in Christ. That's what water baptism does. Water baptism, I die with Christ, symbolic, this thing's death. I die with Christ, I'm buried with Him. And I'm resurrected with Him. Anybody understand this? That's the baptism of water. And then, what happened? The first man, the firstborn, died off in the desert. It was the secondborn that got to go across the River Jordan. Amen? The old